the question was asked, if we say that it's worse to know a mitzvah and then not perform it than to not know it, if you don't know it, then you're a shogeg. So is it better not to learn if you're not going to perform? So let's divide the question a little bit. Let's begin with a guy that walks into Machon Meir, and he says, you know, my mother told me I'm Jewish, I heard about this Judaism thing, what can you tell me about it? So, I think the obvious answer is, come, have a seat, have a drink, and we introduce a person, and slowly a person learns. When a person first starts learning, so, the Torah can seem difficult to keep. And the person shouldn't be quick to gauge whether he could live up to it or not. Now, Halacha says, when a person does gear, when a person comes to ger, so that's the one time when a person has an option, keep mitzvot or not keep mitzvot. A person who's born Jewish doesn't have much of a choice. He becomes 13, that's it. Now he's got to do it, whether he likes it or not. But you have a person who has a choice whether to do it or not. And now Halacha says that when he accepts to become a ger, he must accept, in order for the ger to be valid, he has to accept that he will do all the mitzvot, all the customs, biblical, rabbinic, everything. He has to accept that he will do everything. That being said, the morning after he did his gear, the halacha says from that day onward, you don't look too carefully at what he does. We don't tell him, oh, wait, that has to be this way, that has to be that way. No, quite the contrary. Because we understand, and God understands, and God wants us to understand, that when a person's adopting a new way of life, it takes time. And it takes a lifetime. It's not like someone who was born and grew up in a home where he's been doing everything and so it's easy for him. It's someone who's starting something fresh, and that's very, very hard. So I think the first point, we have to know that when a person's starting out and he's just discovering what the Torah has to say, that's not the time to gauge, can I do this or can't I do this? The person has to work slowly and build good habits and learn everything, and through his learning, he will learn what he's supposed to do and what not. The one difficulty, one shortcoming that Machon Meir has, if you ask me, is that there are many students. And the students start telling other students what they should do. And that's a problem. Because then students start saying to one another, oh, you should do this, and you should be waking up on time, you should wake up early for Nate, and you should put on, go spend your last 80 shekels, put your blue string on that tzitzis. And students are telling one another how to lead their lives, which is wrong. There's a reason why we on the staff turn a blind eye to 80% of what goes on here. You could inform us if you think that something's happening that's improper. Let us know. And don't be surprised if we decide not to react. Because a person has to grow at their own pace. And when a person starts growing, then that's not the time to judge, can I live up to this or not? Slowly. I remember I was once at a briefcase store, buying a knapsack. And the girl behind the counter couldn't care less that I was there to buy a knapsack. She was on the phone. So I'm standing there waiting, and what am I going to do? I hear her conversation, and she says to the girl on the other end of the line, what a Shabbos I had. I went to my religious cousins. Those people are nuts. I come in, they tell me no shower on Shabbos. I come in, they tell me no turning on lights. Don't turn on your cell phone. Shut it off. Put it away. They gave me a million rules just because I walked through the door for a Shabbos. Poor cousins, that's not the way you take in a guest like that. I understand that the guest shouldn't be on the cell phone at the Shabbos table. But I also understand that it's not my business what she does in her room. It might be wrong, but that's not, she didn't come for me to tell her what to do. And if she's going to go shower, I don't have to say anything. You know, there are a million things that a person will learn with time, and maybe it's not even prohibited to shower on Shabbos. You know, a cold shower is okay, and a warm shower maybe on Friday night. Depends on who your rabbi is. There's a lot to discuss. But here in Israel, that we have a Dud Shemesh. There's what to discuss. But the first thing we have to know is that the Torah isn't as hard as it seems at first glance, and the time to gauge, can I live up to it or not, is not at the beginning. A person has to take time and get used to it, and a person has to know that growth is slow. Any growth that's going to last will go slowly. We don't leap into things. Slowly, slowly. That being said, let's say a person comes home and his parents never kept Shabbos. And he knows that he's going to tell them, you know, you're not allowed to turn on that light on Shabbos. They're going to keep turning on the light. So what's he gained by telling them that? What's the point? Then maybe we have this concept of, why should I tell them? technically we say the concept mutav sheyu shogegin v'al yu mezidin, it's preferable that a person err than he sin willfully. We say that only on things that aren't blatantly written in the Torah. If it's written in the Torah clearly, so then we say that the concept doesn't exist. Everyone knows it. Meaning, but even so, if I'm talking to a person who doesn't know that it's prohibited to eat pork, and even if I tell him he'll keep eating pork, then I'm doing him a disservice by telling him. What do I have to tell him for? You're right. The halacha doesn't say that. The halacha doesn't say it about things like that. But what's the point? What? That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know?
So I think that's a different question. Wait. One thing at a time. I think that the first thing we have to know is that it's not our job to comment to everyone. It's not our job.
But it's a mitzvah, isn't it?
So we have to know when it's a mitzvah.
If someone's not going to listen, then it's not a mitzvah. That's what I just said. How do you know if someone's going to like it?
Right. So I said one step at a time. I'm not there yet. I'll tell you the truth. What usually happens is people see how beautiful Shabbos is, people see how beautiful the family life is, people see how beautiful it is to light Shabbos candles and do Kiddush, and from that they evolve into the other mitzvot. No one that I know of heard all these arguments and said, makes sense, yeah, that's the way I want to lead my life. Yeah, I understand. God created the world, He gave these mitzvot, this is the way to lead my life. Okay, so no more shower, no more turning on lights on Shabbos, I'm going to shut myself in on Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't really work that way. It's not the way people work. So if my goal is to bring a person closer, then I should do it intelligently as well. So even though technically you're right, if a person is not going to perform mitzvot, then better he don't know. But our assumption is that the Torah helps a person be a better person. The Torah purifies who we are. It affects who we are. And here, it's worth mentioning a mashal we mention every year that Rav Soloveitchik used to like mentioning. Yosef, you want to tell the story of the barrels? You've probably heard from me 10 times already. I say, okay. The story goes as follows. The king comes to his people and tells them, tomorrow morning I'm sending over a wagon. You see this river on the right side of town. You see the ditch on the left side of town. All you people tomorrow, you stop what you're doing. I want you to spend the day tomorrow taking the barrels to the river, filling them up, going and emptying out the water in the ditch. The people say, our beloved king, if that's what you want us to do, that's what we'll do. So the next day, everyone takes off from work. They all show up. The wagon drives up. A bunch of barrels. They all take the barrels. They go to the river. They fill up the barrels. They start heading to the ditch. They're on their way to the ditch, and they notice that these are leaky barrels. By the time they get to the ditch, they have almost nothing left to throw into the ditch. They do this once, they do this twice, they say, whoa, the king must have messed up. He didn't realize he was sending us leaky barrels. They put down the barrels, they go do their business for the day. One guy says, you know, guys, I don't know, the king said to do this, I'm doing this. I don't know, these are the barrels the king sent, this is what I'm doing. He continues all day long, taking barrels, filling them up with water, going to the ditch, pouring what's left into the ditch. At the end of the day, the king rides up, and he sees only one man working. He calls in all the village. He says, what's wrong with you guys? I told you to do it. Why didn't you do it? They said, well, the barrels had holes. The king said, yeah. They said, so by the time we got to the ditch, we had almost nothing left to put in the ditch. The king said, I know. They said, really? He said, yeah, I didn't need the water in the ditch. I need my barrels clean. I figured we'd fill them up while you walk to the ditch till you pour them out. The barrels will get clean. That's what I wanted you to do today. Clean my barrels. So the Medrash says that's what Torah is about. When we learn Torah, we do our best to remember. We review, we take notes, we put our strength into it, we focus. But at the end of the day, we do forget. So a person might say, by the time I reach 120, how much Torah is going to be left in me? The answer is, God's goal is not necessarily how much Torah is left in you, but how clean the Torah has made you. The Torah affects who we are. It makes us into better people. Part of the way the Torah affects us is that we know how to perform based upon learning the Torah. But that's not the only thing. And that's why when we begin, we have to know our goal is to learn, to perform, to grow slowly. And that's not the time to gauge what a person can keep and can't keep slowly. And our hope is that every person, as they learn, they'll perform more and more. I don't think we should say, in a standard case, I don't think a person should say, well, I'm not going to keep it, I'm not going to learn it anyway. No. Learn, and we with time, you'll see that you could perform with time. You know, we had a class on Fridays. We will be Be'ezrat Hashem start again soon. We have a class every Friday, summarize laws, a certain series of laws. So one week, there was a guy here who said, teach us the laws of Yichud. The Torah prohibits a Jewish man to be alone with a woman in any scenario where no one would know what happened to them. It means if he has to stay late at work and she's the secretary and she's staying late, they have to ensure someone else is there. If there's a babysitter in the house, they have to ensure someone else is there, etc. Right? So I said, guys, I don't think we're holding there yet. Let's learn another half a year and then, if you want, we'll do it. So one of the guys said, no, Rabbi, we want a class on the laws of Yichud. So I said, but I don't think you guys are holding there yet. So he said to me, but we have to know where to aspire to. You're right. We're not yet holding there, but if we don't learn it now, how will we know where we're headed? So we have the class. Today the guy's happily married, and he keeps mitzvot, and he listens to shiurim, and he learns every day of chavrutot. But this is a guy who came here. He started out. I don't even know if he ate kosher when he came here. I don't know where I know where he came from, but I don't know where he was holding. Today, he's one of the leaders of the communities. He's in. The community is here. Here in Jerusalem. So you never know where a guy's headed. And, we start slowly. Slowly. I remember the guy who came here and said, Rabbi, I just started eating kosher. I said, wonderful. Good for you. He said, yep. Now when I go to restaurants, I don't take a slice of pork. I don't touch the pork. I only eat the shrimp. I only... True story.
Really?
Yeah, true story. I'm telling you a true story. And you know where this guy's holding today? Okay, well, so he didn't know. And if you tell him, shrimp isn't kosher. I didn't tell him at that point shrimp wasn't kosher. Slowly.
Why would the king want a clean, leaky barrel? Like,
I don't have his number. I wish I could send you. You could ask him, but I... Okay.